Last week, we looked at Judas Iscariot. After the washing of the feet, Jesus predicts that Judas Iscariot will betray him. And then, in the course of that, we hear from another very important disciple, Peter, also known as the Rock. And so, we're going to read a portion from the discourse right after Jesus washes the feet. And then, you'll note that the next reading after the line on your bulletin is in chapter 18. But really, this is the same day, 13 through 17 in the Gospel of John are one extended discourse where Jesus is speaking to his disciples after Judas has left to go get the soldiers and betray Jesus. So he's telling them all the good stuff, what it's going to be like when he is resurrected. And so then after Judas returns, we pick up the story of Peter. And then at the end of chapter 21, we'll see this is after Jesus has risen from the dead on Sunday. So this is really encapsulated in 4 days, the day before Jesus is crucified and the day and up to Sunday when he's resurrected, the story of Peter at the end. Okay, hear the word of God. Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, where are you going?" Jesus answered him, "Where I'm going, you cannot follow me now, but you will follow afterward." Peter said to him, "Lord, why can I not follow you now? I will lay down my life for you." Jesus answered, "Will you lay down your life for me? Truly, truly, I say to you, the rooster will not crow till you have denied me 3 times. The rooster will crow in the morning, 3 times a night. You're going to deny me." Chapter 18, Simon Peter followed Jesus, and so did another disciple, which is probably John. Since that disciple was known to the high priest, he entered with Jesus into the court of the high priest. But Peter stood outside at the door. So the other disciple, who was known to the high priest, went out and spoke to the servant girl, who had kept watch at the door, and brought Peter in. The servant girl at the door said to Peter, You're not one of this man's disciples, are you?" He said, "I am not." First denial. Now the servants and the officers had made a charcoal fire because it was cold. It was night, and they were standing and warming themselves. Peter also was with them, standing and warming himself. Now Simon Peter was standing and warming himself. So they said to him, the servants and the officers said to him, "You also are not one of his disciples, are you?" Peter denied it and said, "I am not." One of the servants of the high priest, a relative of the man whose ear Peter had cut off, his name was Malchus, asked, "Did I not see you in the garden with him?" Peter again denied it. And at once, a rooster crowed. The other Gospels tell us that Peter was beside himself. They add that to the story there. And then finally, chapter 21. When the disciples had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Feed my lambs." Jesus said to him a second time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Tend my sheep." And Jesus said to him the third time, "Simon Peter, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep. Truly, truly, I say to you, when you were young, you used to dress yourself and walk wherever you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and another will dress you and carry you where you do not want to go." This he said to show by what kind of death he was to glorify God. And after saying this, he said to him, "Follow me." Thus ends the reading of God's word. May he write its eternal truths on our hearts this very morning. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. All right, so beautiful, beautiful story. You look at the beginning of it, and it really it has an inclusio here. It's like Peter says, "Lord, I'm going to lay down my life for you." At the very end of the story, Jesus predicts Peter will indeed lay down his life. He will die a death similar to Jesus' death. But in the course of that story, there is some embarrassing stuff going on. It's a highly embarrassing story. Have you ever heard of a thing called hagiography? It's a biography where the main character is treated as holy. Just like no flaws at all. Kind of this like taking history and really spinning it to make people look good. Well, that's not what we have in the Bible. The Bible is very authentic. It's very real. It takes its main characters and presents them warts and all. To do this is very embarrassing to one of the foundational disciples of Jesus, the apostle Peter. Okay, we're talking the big three, Peter. We're also talking, this is embarrassing for Jesus. Jesus, to have his one of his main men treat him like this, and to be afraid and blatantly lie and say, I'm not with him, is embarrassing to the master. So it's a shameful story that you would think if you were just making this up, you wouldn't put it in there. It's a great, great reason to believe that there is some truth to this story, because you would not make this up. You just wouldn't put it in there. Well, we all have embarrassing stories. We do. I could share many of them. I'm going to start with one, actually, just to warm it up here. When I was in 10th grade, I got really tall. I went from about 5'7 to about 6'3, about thereabouts. It was like crazy. It's like I had the growth spurt. So I got really tall. When I was 11th grade, I became a Christian. I was like from a non-Christian home, became a Christian, and one of my best friends, in God's grace, was a basketball player on our high school team. And so he and I started playing basketball a lot. I enjoyed basketball, but as a senior in high school, I decided, hey, I'm going to try out for the basketball team. Never having played organized basketball besides the YMCA and on the driveway. I mean, it was unbelievable. I had a lot of spring in my jump, and I was tall, and I thought, you know, I'm going to do this. I was sort of the Tim Tebow of my day, really. I thought I could do anything. Well, so I get out to the first day of practice for the tryouts, and you've got a returning team. Now, our team wasn't that great. We had never had a winning record under our coach. I thought, this is going to be simple. I'll get on the team, maybe be a backup. You know, it'd be great. Play basketball. Well, so I get out there. I change into my shorts and my jersey, and then the coach says, hey, line up. We're going to do the three-man weave. And so all the starters and the backups, they get in front of us in lines, and I look out over the court, and I'm like, there is no way I can even do this. I don't know the drills. I don't know. Like, these guys are way more athletic than me. This is a terrible idea. And so I did zero practice, zero tryout. I just asked the coach. I was like, hey, coach, I'm not going to try out. And I went back into the locker room and gave up. I denied my future in basketball. That was it. I was a total failure. What if we're telling stories, you know, about like the beginning of our church, and we'd be like these terrible stories, or the beginning of my life, and like, let's start there. Like, it's a terrible, terrible, embarrassing story, I think. It's a funny story. Like sort of this, I have this all this ambition, I'm going to do it, and then when the reality hits me, like, I have no power to do this. It's exactly what Peter was feeling there. He's like, look at what he says. Look, I'm going to follow you. I'm going to lay down my life for you in verse 37. And then he runs into a servant girl in verse 16 of chapter 18. And he is humbled. He had all these great aspirations when he was in the security of the upper room. But when he was out there in the cold night and people could have taken his life from him, he totally sold out and said, no, I don't know him. You know, isn't that awful? Like, you think about what he's doing here, it is shameful. I'm going to lay down my life for you. Have you ever vowed to do something for God and absolutely failed at it? Many times I've done that. Many times. I'm going to get right this time. I'm going to get right, and then it just falls apart. I've got great aspirations, and it just falls apart. Well, the good news is for us is that God doesn't love us because we're good at doing good. We're good at keeping our promises to him. He loves us because he does. God is love. That is in the Bible. That's a verse that is in the Bible. 1 John 4:8. God is love. And he loves us because he is that, not because of what we are in our obedience. And so when I say I'm going to lay down my life for him and I fail, there's safety there. You see this? Peter here disowns Jesus three times. First, to a servant girl. Then secondly, if you look at it, he's outside. It's nighttime. They have this big event happening. Jesus is being questioned in the next verses here, which we didn't read. He's being questioned, and there's all these officials outside, and him and John are in there, sort of kind of seeing what's going on. And you note that they're warming their hands around a charcoal fire. What a great detail in this story. This is eyewitness testimony of what's happening. John remembers this and includes it in the story. But he also remembers this terrible thing that Peter denies him a second time. And then you see a third time, someone who was in the garden when Jesus was arrested, who is a relative of the man that Peter cut off his ear. We heard this last week. Jesus cut off the ear of someone who was trying to arrest Jesus, and Jesus healed it. Someone who saw Peter with his sword says, "Weren't you the one with Jesus?" And he says, "No." Three times he denies him. Three times the story. Peter's story really is all of our stories. You know, we could multiply all the times where we have felt pressure and have not come through. We haven't done it. We have been less than truthful about what we believe about Jesus. You know, because if you think about it, believing in Jesus can seem like the weirdest thing, and people can hate it. It's not popular. I was in line at a grocery store recently, and there was a man in front of me with his wife. And if you've ever been in a grocery store line, I know people shop online and get Walmart pickup now, but if you ever go in, they have National Enquirer magazines on the racks still. And if you look at them, like the current one has a picture of Donald Trump, and it says, "World War III is coming." And so the picture of Donald Trump, "World War III coming." The man looks at his wife and says, "See? See what I told you? He's going to start World War III." Now, with all seriousness, believes World War III is imminent because it says it on this National Enquirer. I hope we don't believe the National Enquirer is a credible source of news. Okay, but the thing is, when we exit this building and go out into the streets and into our neighborhoods, people look at you who go to church like the Bible is like the National Enquirer. How can you believe this mythology, this legend, this, it's trash. You know, it's like, why would you even believe, it's the National Enquirer. This is what people believe. How can you believe in such a book and a God? And it's usually, I would argue, that these people have not read this book and they have no eyes to see it. They have no eyes to see Jesus. And so rather than cower in fear that someone's going to find us out that we're a Christian and not like us, or think that we're simple-minded, we're called to be witnesses of Him and to bear witness to Him. And so this is all of our lives. We are witnesses to Him, and we can be faithful to Him or disobedient to Him. But the truth is that we are bigger failures than we could ever imagine. If we really add it up, we're bigger failures than we could ever imagine. Peter couldn't imagine that he would do this sort of thing, that he would be struggling like this. We make promises all the time. We make marriage promises. We make promises to do something. And then when your marriage is running on fumes and you're like, you're angry with each other, you make promises to your children and then they're just annoying you and you feel like, what is wrong with me? I love these people. And I'm absolutely sort of incapable of keeping my word and doing the right thing. I've got to realize I'm a bigger failure than I ever am aware. Okay? But the good news is that I'm also more loved, and God has a greater plan for me than I could ever plan for myself. That's true. Okay? More than we could ever imagine, God has set out for us a death that we could not die apart from His power. He's going to cause us to do things and die to our selfishness and our failure and our wanting to preserve our own lives so that we can become more Christ-like. That's what He has for us. We're going to be like Peter, and both we're going to realize we're bigger failures than we can imagine, and that God has a bigger plan for us than we could ever imagine. So, if you look at what happens here, when Peter realizes he's a failure, he realizes he's messed up royally. The rooster crows, And here we are. What happens when Jesus is resurrected? There's this big, tense moment. They're having breakfast. And it's like a family dinner where like there's like this obvious thing, you know, sister's come back from college and she got tattoos on her face or something like this. And we're gonna have to kind of act like this doesn't exist or something like that. They're all kind of like, there's an elephant in the room, and it's Peter has denied Jesus. He knows it. He's grieved about it. How is Jesus going to respond? Well, Jesus responds in a way that is interesting, isn't it not? He goes to Peter and he asks him three times, "Do you love me?" And it's like he's reinstating him into his office in this. But it breaks Peter's heart. He's like, "Do you?" Because he says it three times to sort of emphasize, three times you denied me. But every time Jesus says, "Well, take care of my sheep." Peter says, "You know I love you. Tend my sheep." So what this is as a person in the kingdom of God, as an officer in his church, is that Peter's role as a failure who is loved by God and reinstated, his role is to serve. His role is to tend and to feed and to care for the people that God loves. You know, so you and I can be big failures in so many ways, and that doesn't disqualify us from serving, feeding, and caring for those who are in our care, our children, our neighbors, our friends. We have a great ministry ahead of us, even though we're not qualified. Now, you might think about those of us who are older have been like, hey, you know, I messed up when I was a kid, so how am I going to require my kids to do the right things? You know, how am I going to actually hold them to a standard that I couldn't meet? Well, we all have that. None of us have met the standard. We have to call people to things that we actually have no power to do. We have no power in our own hearts to follow Jesus. Everything we've done is by grace, and God's going to empower us to do things that are bigger than us. But if it were up to us, we'd have no power to do it. And so we call people to believe in something they have no power to do, which we had no power to do, but God can make us do. He can change us. And that's the good news. We have this great ministry ahead of us, even though we have a past full of failure. Peter's story is all of our stories. Bad past, glorious future. Glorious future. Why is that? Well, it's because of Jesus. In 2 Corinthians 5:21, it says that God took him who knew no sin and made him to be sin so that we could become the righteousness of God. So that when God looks at a believer in Jesus, anyone who has faith in him, he sees not our failures, but he sees the righteousness of Christ. God has no more vision, no more eyes for your failures because it's been taken away. When Jesus died on the cross for you, all of your sins went with him into the grave. And when he rose again from the dead, you rose with him. When God looks at you, he sees the very righteousness of his son. That's good news. Don't you know that you are his lamb and he is your shepherd? Don't you know that there is greater dignity for you and greater honor for you than you could ever merit for yourself because of what Jesus has done? And so when we are relating to people out there in our ministries, we all have ministries, like I said, we have to be aware that we're tending sheep, we're feeding sheep, we're caring for his people. And we don't know who his people are. There are people he has that outnumber the stars, if we could count them. Like if you could number the stars and count them, that's how many people God has. Billions. Well, you don't know who they are. You've got to care for them all, especially those in the church, but also those outside of the church as well. We don't just honor those who honor us, but we honor everyone because he or she is in the image of God. They're specially created. They deserve our honor and respect. They deserve our care. As God loves the world, so do we love the world. And those are the people that are against him, enemies. He forgives enemies. So the question for us today is, or the application for us today is, get to know somebody in this body and then someone outside of this body and share an embarrassing story with them. Tell them some embarrassing story. You know, break the ice. Show them you're human. Show them your failures. Show your children that you do sin and that you repent of them. And show somebody who you are. Let them know you so that they can be known by you. You've got a great death to die. That's a death, is to give a little bit of your embarrassment away. You've got to die to your pride. Because the good news is sandwiched between Peter's betrayals is Jesus' righteousness. Jesus was questioned and didn't give up. He didn't deny. He didn't deny God. He was faithful for you. And so when you can have all kinds of courage to share your failures, because your standing is not based upon your goodness and your faithfulness, but it's on Jesus' faithfulness. Right between these three betrayals of Peter, three denials, is Jesus' faithfulness, where he's questioned by the high priest. You know, and so he's got a death to die. We've all got a death to die. In fact, Peter does die. He does die that death. In 64 AD, roughly 30 years later, Peter did not deny Jesus. The emperor of Rome, Nero, had Peter crucified upside down, according to church history. Peter did die the death that he promised he would die, but was unable to actually accomplish. How did he do that? Well, it's because there was fruit of the Spirit in his life. After Jesus rose from the dead and ascended into heaven, he sent the Holy Spirit to be upon his disciples. And this gave them things like faithfulness, self-control, love, joy, peace. All these fruit into the life of Peter. And those things are available for us today too. If by believing in him, in faith in him, we can have self-control, faithfulness, goodness, kindness, peace, those things, so that we can be faithful, even to the point of death, even realizing we've been so unfaithful. There are multitude of saints in our past who have died martyrs' deaths for their faith. And God may ask you to do that, but God is definitely asking you to live in the freedom that the gospel gives you, which is to be willing to share your failures so that someone else can grow and know God, so that you can open up your life to them. That's it.